So when you feel lonely, do you lean more on your feelings? Or do you lean more on your faith? When you feel lonely, which way do you go? Do you rely more on your feelings in the moment? Because, I mean, those feelings can be overwhelming, right? They can consume you. Or in those moments, do you rely more on your faith? Which way do you lean when you feel consumed? When the rejection is kind of consuming you? When it hurts so deeply and it makes you feel isolated and it pushes you away from people, which way do you lean? See, what do you rely on? Which way do you lean when those feelings of loneliness are there? Do you rely on your feelings? Or do you rely on your faith? One of the things I've recognized about loneliness is that it can make one feel lost. I don't know what to do. I don't know why this is happening. I don't know why I'm feeling the way I'm feeling. I don't know why this feeling is the response to what people are doing to me, thinking about me or saying about me, or even what's happening around me. I don't understand why I'm feeling this way. I don't know when someone sees you and when you don't feel someone sees you, when you don't feel someone recognizes you, when you feel like no one knows you or understands you. I mean, that's when we feel lost, isn't it? And lost is a terrible feeling. Because that's when the stress kicks in. That's when the anxiety builds. And maybe in that moment, you begin to worry more about what people think. And you know that doesn't help. But yet we do. Now, I don't know about you, but in those moments when I don't know where I am, and I feel lost, and these feelings are overwhelming, that's when I'm the most insecure. Really insecure. And that's the thing about loneliness. When I'm lonely, I'm insecure. I'm insecure about who I am. I'm insecure about what I'm doing. I'm insecure about my purpose in life. All these things which are foundational. And the opposite is true. When I'm secure, I don't feel lonely. Maybe you've recognized that in your own life. When you're secure in who you are, when you're secure in what you are, in confident in what you're doing, and you're confident and secure in your purpose in life, it's in those moments you don't feel the loneliness. It's when I'm insecure, I'm lonely. This is why this is so important to talk about and express. See, in our lonely moments, if we rely or lean on the wrong thing, if we rely on what we feel more than we rely on what we know to be true, the overwhelming feelings of loneliness, the consuming feelings of loneliness can gain power in our lives and begin to direct our life. And if we do not address our loneliness, if we do not address our loneliness, it has the power to erode our emotional, spiritual, and emotional health. It has the power to erode us, our emotional health, our spiritual health, and our physical health. And left unchecked, our feelings of loneliness, they have extreme risks. See, loneliness is a thief robbing us from the joy of life, and we need to address those feelings. We need to recognize these feelings and these feelings of loneliness, and we need to recognize not just the feelings, we need to recognize the risk that loneliness can lead to if unchecked. And the best way to address the loneliness and address our loneliness is by relying on what we believe and know to be true instead of relying on the feelings that may consume us. So, we must lean on our faith, because when we lean on our faith, we will be more secure And we're going to talk more about that in a minute. My name is Casey, and it is such a privilege and an honor to be together with all of you here today. I'm so grateful for that. For everyone that is joining us and you're watching online right now, we are so grateful to be with you wherever you are. If you're new with us, whether you're new with us online or you're new with us in the room, I want you to know we have a gift for you, and we would love to give you that gift if you're in the room right after service. And so right after today's service, if you'll go visit our Welcome Center, which is located across our lobby, inside the Welcome Center, a host would be there, and that host will love to tell you, love to give you a gift for being with us today. And while you're there, we would love to take 4 minutes of your time to share with you four things about what we believe is meaningful about who we are as a church family and Westside as a church family. Also, if you're new with us online, they're posting a link to a Connect card. Will you click that link, fill that form out, and we'd love to send you a gift for being with us today. Now, Westside, let's welcome everyone that's watching online, and let those that are new with us in the room know how grateful we are to be together. Yeah. Yeah, so grateful. So last week we began the series that we're calling The Wilderness of Loneliness. We define loneliness as a feeling, because that's what it is. Loneliness is a feeling. It's not a state of being, it's a feeling. And it's a feeling of not being wanted. It comes from not being welcomed. It's a feeling that leaves us often without hope, and that's a place of despair. It's a feeling of despair. And left unaddressed, left unconfessed, the feelings of loneliness, we need to recognize they have severe consequences. And they have severe consequences in our emotional health, our spiritual health, and even our physical health. And we need to understand this. Studies show us, and you can look this up, you can go to Google and find out so many studies of how this impacts our physical health, from impacting how much sleep you get or the lack of sleep. It leads to weight gain. It leads to compromised immune systems. I mean, this is what loneliness does physically. The science will back it up. Loneliness also impacts us spiritually. It will create distance between you and God. Now, it doesn't push God away, but what it does is it makes us feel like God is far away. See, when we rely and we lean on our feelings and we won't rely on our faith, when we don't rely on our faith, you know what? That's when God feels farther away. That's when God feels distant, and you feel like, God, are you even there? Because I don't feel it. And then unspoken loneliness also has the potential to erode our emotional health. And these risks are extreme. The despairing feelings of loneliness left unchecked, unconfessed, and unaddressed can exponentially increase the chance of depression setting in. It's not what we want. It's not what we want in our own story, but left unchecked, the feelings of loneliness can lead to depression. Now, I recognize there are also biological reasons that cause many people to have depression, and that's why I want to encourage you that if you deal with depression, whether it is a biological or a psychological thing or a feeling thing or a physical thing, please talk to somebody. Please reach out and talk with a safe person. Talk with a doctor or a psychologist. And I want you to know that we have contracted out with a counselor to provide assistance for anyone who is dealing with these feelings. If you've dealt with these feelings and you just don't know how to deal with them, it kind of immobilizes you. It consumes you. And you don't know, you can't seem to fix it. You can't seem to shake it. It's okay to talk with someone, and we have someone that we've contracted out to make it easy and easier and to help provide assistance to those that are struggling this. And if you can open our app and click on the talk with somebody or go to our website, click the button that says care, receive care, we'd love to reach out and help you. See, the emotional pain of loneliness is real. It's real. And if you don't have a safe person to talk with about loneliness, depression can take a deeper hold in our life. In fact, psychologists say that just talking to someone about your loneliness is one of the biggest things that you can do in your struggle of loneliness. But when we don't feel secure, we don't want to talk. And when people don't feel secure, maybe it's because they don't feel like they have a place to belong, that they're wanted, and or that they're accepted, and people are going to turn away from them and reject them. And when sometimes that happens, other things happen. Is we turn to other solutions to fix the pain, don't we? We turn to sometimes substances or sources to fix and address this pain of something that's deep inside, a pain that's caused by the loneliness we feel. We'll look for a solution to fix the pain inside, a pain that we haven't voiced to anyone, a pain that we haven't been able to express to anyone. And what we do is we put ourselves then at greater risk of believing that these substances can heal our pain. And that's a false hope. And there are even the ultimate risk that loneliness has. See, loneliness can lead someone to taking their own life. We've all been impacted by the severity of this risk in one way or another. And for some of us, that hits our home. And it's hard. And for some, the voice inside our head, maybe it's a voice that's saying, this is the only solution for the pain in your loneliness. It's a strong voice because you feel lost. It's a strong voice because, and it's loud in your head. It's consuming you. And the feelings are real. And those closest to you don't even know the things that you've thought. You're in a wilderness. You feel unwanted, you feel unwelcome, and you feel like life may be better without you. And if that is you, I want you to know something. God sees you. He wants his voice. He wants his voice to overcome all of those other voices that are lying to you. And if this is you, please reach out to someone. Please express it. Talk with someone. Open our app. Click on the website. Don't leave it unaddressed. Now, before we begin today, I want us all to pray together because we're all in this together. Either you have this struggle, you're in the wilderness of loneliness, or you are close to someone who is struggling with loneliness. And so I'm going to ask you to do something. We're going to pray. I'm going to ask my wife to come up and join me. But this is what I want you to do. I want you to stand. And all across this room, this is what I want you to do. This is going to take a step of courage for some of you. This may be awkward. But this is not cliche. You may feel alone, but I want you to know today you're not alone. And I want you to just reach out and grab the hand of someone next to you. I want you to connect with someone. And today, I want you to pray. And there's a prayer that, this is the prayer I want us to pray together as a church family. And so I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer after me. Will you bow your heads and let's pray together? Heavenly Father, we trust you are good. Give those around me the hope they need. Silence the lies. May we feel your grace today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Yeah, amen. I want you to know that, you know, Cassie and I, we recognize that this wilderness is a difficult place. Wilderness of loneliness is truly difficult. But we realize that in the wilderness of loneliness, there's grace. And there's grace. Thank you for coming up here to be with me. I believe we can receive grace today. And if you're in the wilderness of loneliness, this is something you can receive today. And I also believe that grace is something that you can give to someone in their season of loneliness. And I believe God's grace is the hope for the wilderness of loneliness. And here's the big idea of this whole series. Loneliness is a gift that leads us to Jesus and allows us to experience his greater grace. Loneliness does not need to be a burden. It is, you may feel it as a burden, but I want you to not see it as a burden. I want you to learn to see loneliness as a gift that will lead you to Jesus. And when you connect with him, when you rely on him, and not being consumed by the feelings, and when you lean on him, rely on him, that you will then begin to experience a greater grace than you can never have experienced. And loneliness will be a season that leads you to experience something so amazing. And I believe when you reach out in your loneliness, you will discover that this gift leads you to Jesus Christ, and that this, and as you reach out, you're gonna experience a greater grace. And that's what we've been talking about, this idea of reach. We're gonna reach up to receive God's grace in our loneliness, and we're gonna reach out to give to others in our loneliness. I believe in our loneliness, we can receive his grace that is revealed in the troubles of loneliness. See, that grace then becomes a strength to endure the wilderness of loneliness. And in that grace, we will find something beautiful. We will find that we can minister to others in their loneliness. See, I believe lonely people are the best people to minister to other lonely people. They're not the only people that can minister to lonely people. But sometimes we are the best people because we see those who are lonely. Now, last week we introduced this acrostic to help us to reach up to God and to reach out to others. And I want to remind you of that. And each letter is a tool to help us navigate the season in the wilderness of loneliness. The R is to recognize our loneliness, including its sources, symptoms, and risk. We're going to look at this today. We're going to recognize the feelings of loneliness. We're going to look at the symptoms of it and the risks of it. E is express our loneliness to God and to others. A, anticipate that God will transform your loneliness into something that is positive and useful for his purpose. And then the C is a choice. It's all about your choice, that you're going to choose to connect in this season of this wilderness of loneliness. You're going to choose to connect with God and connect with others. And then the H, you're going to honor God. We're learning to honor God in our loneliness by dedicating the season of loneliness to him. We're gonna make this season sacred. We're gonna set it apart. And when we dedicate it to him, he uses it. Now, this is not a sequential process. Now, sometimes they are, but most of these are tools that God will use even together. And it's a tool to help us navigate this wilderness of loneliness. Now, with reach in the back of our mind, I want us to turn to Psalm 102. If you have your Bibles, if you're not, we've got your notes right there. You can also open it up in your app on your phone or device. Psalm 102, verse 6, is where we've got the idea of this series of calling it the wilderness of loneliness. And now, while I attribute this psalm to King David, just because of the pattern, it replicates some of his other psalms, we have no record that this is written by King David. This is actually an anonymous psalm. And the songwriter here, however, we see has dealt with the afflictions and the weariness that has come from loneliness. Many of us have the feelings of loneliness that this songwriter has felt. And the Holy Spirit of God, I believe, inspired this psalm thousands of years ago, knowing that through thousands of years of history, people would go to the scripture, rely on the scripture, so they could know that they are not alone in what they feel. And God inspired this, I believe, for you. So you know that you're not alone in the way you feel, that someone else gets how you feel. And in this psalm, you're gonna recognize that it's okay to be raw with God. It's okay to be honest with him and open. He can take it. And it's a beautiful thing to him when we're honest and raw with the way we feel directly to him. So Psalm 102, verse 1. Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my plea. Don't turn away from me in my time of distress. Bend down to listen and answer me quickly when I call to you. For my days disappear like smoke and my bones burn like red hot coals. My heart is sick, withered like grass, and I have lost my appetite. Because of my groaning, I am reduced to skin and bones. You ever feel like that? It's a description of how loneliness felt to this songwriter. Here, the psalmist is using his voice and expressing his voice to God, and in this, he's reaching. He's actually putting in process, he's using some of the things that we've talked about. Here he is expressing his loneliness to God. He's using the E. He's doing the A. He's anticipating that God will hear and not turn away. I see that throughout the psalm. You're going to see that. And even right now, you're going to see, like, he's anticipating, because anticipating God's going to answer his cry. Why would you cry out to God if you don't think he's going to come and help you? He's anticipating. He's doing the C. He's obviously made the choice to connect with God. He's saying, this is the way I feel, but I'm going to choose to connect with him. And he's also doing the R. He's recognized, and he's expressed it through he's recognizing his loneliness. He's internally processed the way his loneliness has made him feel and the symptoms of it as well. And here's some of the symptoms he talks about. I mean, here's one of the symptoms. He talks about feeling distressed. I mean, that's a symptom of loneliness, being distressed. He says he feels invisible. He's recognizing this. He's processed this like a vapor. I'm invisible, meaningless, worthless. Even the burning anger inside, which is what I think he's expressing when he talks about the cold, the fire in his bones. And in that day and age, this was a way that sometimes people would express their anger, and maybe you felt that. It's like, it's a deep inside, this anger within me. And some lonely people, you get that. You feel like the rejection from everybody else has just made you so angry, and it even pushes you further and isolates you away from other people. See, loneliness can feel like a sickness to our soul. See, loneliness is this feeling that we're invisible and insignificant. Loneliness can make our hearts ache. Loneliness can make our souls wither. And I know you're like, Casey, you have the audacity to call this a gift. When has ever been feeling insignificant been a gift? When has being invisible and feeling invisible ever been a gift? Feeling lost is no gift. Feeling lost is exactly what the psalmist feels. In verse 6, look what he writes. He says, I am like an owl in the desert, like a little owl in the far off wilderness. I lie awake, lonely as a solitary bird on the roof. I love the way the psalmist uses this metaphor to describe his loneliness. Like an owl in the wilderness. And here he expresses that, you know, I can't even sleep. And maybe you've felt that in your loneliness. You know those lonely nights? Man, you can't sleep. Loneliness makes you feel like an owl in the desert, and then when you're there, you feel deserted in the wilderness. I mean, that's what it feels like to be rejected, isn't it? That's what it feels like when you're unwanted or unwelcomed, or you feel unaccepted. And that feeling is real. That wilderness is real. See, loneliness is the feeling that no one wants to be with me. I don't belong here. Obviously, no one wants to be around me here. That's why I feel like this owl in the wilderness. I'm not wanted. I'm not welcomed. I'm rejected. I'm unaccepted. I'm lonely. And everyone's deserted me. The psalmist continues in verse 8. My enemies taunt me day after day. They mock and curse me. I eat ashes for food. My tears run down into my drink because of your great anger and wrath. For you have picked me up and thrown me out. My life passes as swiftly as the evening shadows. I'm withering away like grass. Here the psalmist identifies how people are treating him. I mean, really, you know, lonely people, here's the thing, is when someone doesn't come to your aid in your loneliness, and one of the things I've learned is sometimes that person feels like an enemy, right? And everything they do feels like it's mocking you and mocking your loneliness, and it feels like a greater curse on us. And here the psalmist identifies how those, the psalmist would say are his enemies, are treating him. They mock him and they curse him. And then the psalmist projects this on God. Did you catch how he did that? Said, they mock me, they curse me, you must be angry with me. See, that's what we do in our humanity. God has rejected me. And maybe you feel like that today. Because of how people have treated you, you feel that God has rejected you. And maybe you feel that God is ignoring you, but I got word for you, it's a lie. He is not ignoring you. Maybe you feel like God has turned his back on you, and you feel like you've done something wrong, and because of something you've done, that because of something you've done, this is now what you deserve, and God's giving you what you deserve, so now God's anger is against you. If you believe this, and you believe that God doesn't want you or that he's ignored you or rejected you, that is not what God thinks about you. That is a lie. Do not believe that lie. Loneliness is a feeling that stems from the lie that we are inadequate and unworthy of relationship. And when we feel unworthy, it's because we're not secure in the truth of who we are. When we feel unworthy, and for those of us who are Christ followers, it's because we do not feel secure in the truth of who we are in Jesus Christ. And when we feel unworthy, we feel unworthy because we are not secure in how God sees us. See, loneliness makes us feel insecure. The feelings of loneliness then lead to shame. And we talked about this. We are not built, and we were not built for shame. And if we say we are lonely, we think that if to confess that I'm lonely and I have these feelings and these are the feelings and what I'm thinking, that people are going to reject us even more and they're going to think something's wrong with us. Because actually, this is why we don't talk about it, right? We live in a culture that thinks something's wrong with you if you express this feeling. Or they're going to punish you or penalize you for thinking about this. They're going to push you away because of this. This is why leadership loneliness is real, why they call that a C-suite loneliness or executive loneliness. It's a real thing to admit that this is a feeling inside of you, to admit this is what you're thinking and this is what it's doing, and it might even be debilitating. It's a weakness. You think. It's a weakness that may be even punished. Because if I tell people the way I'm feeling, those who follow won't trust me. My family will think something's wrong with me. Or my company may fire me. So we don't express what's going on inside. We don't express what we're feeling, and we cover it because we cover the things we're ashamed of. And the reason we do this is because we believed a lie. Loneliness stems from that lie that we are inadequate and unworthy and no one wants us. And they wouldn't want to be with us if they knew this about us. See, no one will want to be with me if they know this about me. Don't believe that lie. God sees his image inside of you. And because you are living, because you are breathing, God wants to have a relationship with you. This is the truth, and maybe the most foundational truth that you need to recognize today. And instead of being consumed by your feelings today, you need to rely on the truth that you are made in God's image and God wants to be with you. Because you are breathing, he wants to have a relationship with you. He does not see you as inadequate. He does not see you as unworthy. You are worth so much that God would enter into your story, enter into your narrative, and he would become like you and die for you so you could have a relationship with him. That is how much you are worth to your God in heaven. Now back to the psalm. Here, the songwriter makes a shift, and he says, but you, O Lord, will sit on your throne forever. Your fame will endure to every generation. You will arise and have mercy on Jerusalem, and now is the time to pity her, and now is the time you promise to help. He sees a broken people in a broken city. For your people love every stone in her walls and cherish even the dust in her streets. Then the nations will tremble before the Lord. The kings of the earth will tremble before his glory. For the Lord will rebuild Jerusalem. He will appear in his glory. He will listen to the prayers of the destitute. He will not reject their pleas. Maybe you need to underline verse 17. He will listen to the prayers of the destitute. He will not reject their pleas. You may feel like your prayers are hitting a glass ceiling. You may feel like God isn't listening, but he is. See, God hears your lonely cries, and he hears every one of your lonely prayers. God sees every tear you cry, and he hears every cry, even the ones that are so deep inside, nobody even knows what's going on. The late night ones, when it is so loud in your head, but it's so quiet in the room, he hears it. He hears your cries. You may feel like God is rejecting your cries, but he is not. He is present with you. See, God, the psalmist says, sits on his throne forever. And I want you to know something. Yes, God sits on his throne forever. He's lifting up the position, the place, and where God is in his power and his character, and he's there. But he's sitting on his throne forever, yet he desires to sit with you in your pain. I want you to see the shift that the psalmist makes here. See, the psalmist shifts his focus from himself, from his feelings, and he focuses on God's character and the pain of others. He focuses on God's enduring character, his enduring power, his enduring position. He sits on his throne forever. This is who God is, and because when we put our eyes on who God is, then we can recognize who we are. And then the psalmist looks to the broken people of a broken city who long to be restored. And I can't tell you how powerful this shift is in your life. To in your feelings, I'm not saying don't recognize your feelings. I'm saying in your feelings, let this be a trigger to now look to Jesus and your confidence in God. See, when we stop focusing on our own pain, and our own feelings and the pain of that, and we begin to focus on God's character, something powerful happens in that moment. And I can't describe it. To try to describe it would take away your experience, because you'll experience something, but this is what I know. It's powerful. It's powerful. And when we begin to rely on our faith and rely on our faith and not our feelings, something powerful happens. And when we focus on the pain of others, instead of the feelings, the consuming feelings that we have in our own loneliness, something powerful happens. I want to talk more about that in week 4. See, when we lean on our faith and we rely on our faith instead of our feelings, something powerful occurs. And I believe this is where God's grace becomes a powerful force within us. And for some of us, this is what you need to experience today. Yes, name your feelings. Recognize them. But in that, rely on your faith. Call out what you feel. Yes, confess what you feel. But in that same breath of confessing what you feel, confess your faith in who God is and what you know to be true. Rely on your faith, not your feelings. I want to read the end of this psalm. It says, long ago you laid the foundations of the earth and made the heavens with your hands. They will perish, but you remain forever. They wear out like old clothing. You will change them like a garment and discard them. But you are always the same. You will live forever. The children of your people will live in security. Their children's children will thrive in your presence. Did you check that out? Did you see that? The children of your people will live in security and thrive. You can thrive in the wilderness of loneliness. See, God never changes. He is always present. He is always with you. And God's people thrive in God's presence. And when God is with you, no matter what, how consuming those feelings are, you can rely on the faith that God is with you, and that gives you the courage to reach out and connect with him because he's there. And when we rely on the truth that God never changes, even though our feelings do, our feelings are like emotional waves in our life. We rely on God that he never changes. We will learn that we can thrive in this wilderness of loneliness. And when we rely on our faith, not ignoring what we feel, that's when we're going to be secure. God wants you to be secure. See, it is powerful when you trust that God is with you even though you feel lonely. So I want to ask you today, are you relying on your feelings or are you going to rely on your faith? I'm not asking you to ignore what you feel. I'm asking you to rely on what you know to be true. And too often we hold on to our feelings and we let go of our faith. I'm not saying let go of your feelings. I'm saying don't let go of your faith. Rely on it. Trust in it. Rest in God's goodness. Rely on him. See, the reasons we let go of our faith is because we believe what our feelings are telling us rather than what Christ's death and resurrection reveals to us. See, the resurrection of Jesus is the evidence that God's Spirit is with you everywhere all the time. The death of Jesus is the evidence that you are worthy of a relationship with him. And his resurrection is the security that God's presence is with you regardless of how difficult the season of this wilderness is in your life. So here's a teaching big idea I want to leave you with. God is with you in your loneliness. This is the truth you can rely on. God is with you in your loneliness. And you will experience his grace when you connect with him. When you in that moment say, I'm not going to rely on my feelings, but I'm going to rely on my faith. And because of my faith, he's with me. I believe he's with me. I want to make this choice to connect with him in my loneliness. God will meet you there. And when you cry out to him, he wants to hear you and he wants to meet you. And his grace is going to be an ever-present grace to you. It's strength to you to endure, and you'll experience it. So what are you relying on today? As you think about that, I want to read a psalm over you. It's Psalm 139. And some of you may need to close your eyes. Some of you just need to see it up on the screen and you just need to read it along with me. But this is what I want to ask you today. As I read this, I want you to hear God, your Heavenly Father's voice, speak to you through his Holy Spirit. I want you to allow the words of this scripture to go into the depths of your heart and your soul, because that's what God's truth does. It goes deep down. And I want you to hear what he's speaking to you today. What is he saying to you? Here's Psalm 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. When I am awake, I am still with you. So what's God speaking to you right now? Do you hear him saying how precious you are? Do you hear him say how wonderful you are? Do you hear him saying that his thoughts about you are so many? He thinks about you and there's more thoughts about you than there's sand on the seashore. Do you hear that you don't have to hide from him because there's nowhere you can go that he's not going to be with you? When you know what God thinks about you, you'll be secure. So you are secure when you believe God sees you, knows you, and is always with you. So as we close today, we're going to close in singing. And I want to close us in prayer. And I want to ask you to stand right now. And some of you, today is a shift you need to make. And in your song, you need to let this be your cry. Let this be your voice to rely on God. And this is the prayer I want us all to pray together. Will you pray this out loud with me right now as we close today? Let's all say this together. Father, you see me and you know me. You love me and I am precious to you. I am secure.